Welcome to another episode of Pulling on Heaven podcast in this amazing season that we get to be right now as with Pastor Gary Zamora, who, you know, he loves to declare, and I believe right along with him, that this is the greatest season of our lives. Yeah. This is the greatest day of our lives, which means this is the greatest podcast of our lives.
It is. It is. I will say of the Lord, this is the day. Today is you know, I do. I say that every day. I say something. Number one, I always saying, this is the greatest season of our lives. This is the greatest day of our life. And then I love to, in my prayer time, say something great is going to happen today. Mm-hmm. Because you are great and you're greatly with me. And so something great is taking place right now. But thank you, Steve. Thank you for joining me. I certainly always appreciate your. We were just talking before we went started recording today that it's a blessing to me to hear someone else say or share something that I've been able to share maybe on a Sunday or on a podcast, and to hear it come out of you.
Yeah.
Or someone that's heard it and it just internalized and then, you know, kind of crude, but regurgitated it back, you know, just shot it back out there. It's just, you know, many times I went, wow, that's really good. And then someone will say, what's what I heard on Sunday? But it's not, I mean, it is, but no, it's God. It's what God is saying to you. Your every individual's interpretation has that presence of God's eternity. It just has a, it may seem like a subtle nuance, but it's really a huge, very provoking perspective.
Yeah.
It makes you look at things from different directions. It's we were talking, it's like a reflection in a mirror.
Yeah.
I mean, how far does a mirror reflect? Well, I mean, it's kind of endless. It's, and what is a mirror? It is a reflection.
Yes, of light.
And what is it? Yeah, exactly. What's the power of a mirror? Light. Take the light away, the mirror doesn't work. And it's the same thing with us. Christ is the light. He says, I'm the light of the world, but he said, I'm leaving you with the reflection of who I am. And that reflection is eternal. It just goes and goes and goes, and it just never ends. And so the Word of God is the same. When we hear the Word, you go to church on Sunday, or you're listening to a Word on your phone or whatever, it's so important to internalize what's being said and bring it home, bring it right back home, and just say, that Word is to me. We say that we are PFC, Prophetic Fulfillment Church. And what does that mean? It means we're here fulfilling the word of the Lord, just like Jesus said. Go out, declare the word, and Paul says, I'm fulfilling the word of God. Mm-hmm. And that's what time is. It's a fulfillment in the fullness of time. What does that mean? We're walking in the fullness of the word. God's unfolding these multi-dimensional levels, these eternal perspectives of his word, which is like he is. It's like light. Where does it end? Well, it's just, and how fast is it? I mean, right here, right now. And so hearing the word come out of you when you share, and we're sitting here sharing, and the different people you and I speak with, it's just, to me, it's that reflection back of God's word, and it's just enlightening. I mean, it makes you look and say, look how great I look. you just look and say, look at the word, that's who I am. I am that reflection. Yeah. And it makes you, it gives you a different perspective of who you are, because the world can tell you a lot of different things. It can describe you in a lot of multiplicity of ways, but the word of God is sure. The word of God is accurate. It's exact. And the word says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And what does that look like? Well, according to the word, we're made in his image and in his likeness. So we were talking, I'm remembering in the last podcast, or one of the podcasts, and I said I wanted to touch on something in reference to our faith, and faith is our understanding. By faith we understand. You may not be able to figure it out Don't worry, your faith understands. It'll show you. It'll reveal what's going on. Just trust, really trust in the Lord. And that comes out in so many different ways. It's like that mirror. It's that reflection. You know, we know we enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Start the day off by speaking from the internal faith and not waiting for God to do something on the outside. And I was talking about Adam and Eve had everything, right?
Yeah.
God gave them, here's a world, there's no shame. You don't have to worry about washing clothes because you don't have any. You know, you can't get, your clothes won't get dirty because you don't have any. There's no shame. Your mind is so purely God-related that all that exists is the pure word of God. And I mean, what an amazing world to live in. And then to think that Jesus came to redeem that time. And I love what the scriptures tell us about that. It talks about what the old law couldn't do. There was nothing wrong with the old law. It's all about worshiping God, fearing God, loving God, keeping his word, believing him. But he's saying you can't do that. It's not by the power of man's effort. It's by the word of faith I put on the inside of you. It's by trusting in me. And Christ redeemed that innocence in our minds if we will allow it. One of the great problems, big problems in Christianity as well as non-believers is, you know, is God hearing me? What's going on? I'm afraid. My faith isn't working. I don't have enough faith. Well, God obviously isn't answering me, or he doesn't exist because when I pray, he doesn't answer. He wouldn't do this or he didn't do that. What God would do this? And it's just endless because we try to determine the value of who we are, number one, and the presence or the reality of God by what we deem necessary, what we want to happen, what should take place. Number one, we didn't build this world. God did. He knows what's necessary. He knows he fearfully and wonderfully made you. He made fearfully and wonderfully made you, created you for a very specific purpose, and that purpose is endless. But the but comes in is, why did Adam and Eve, knowing that purpose, walking in this perfect world, what was it that made them sin against God?
Yeah, and there was only one thing they could do.
Just one.
Just one. There was only one thing. There's not like they could have accidentally done anything else. They couldn't. They were free to be and do anything except for one thing. You would think that would be, I can do one. I can handle one thing.
Yeah, one thing. So life isn't complicated.
Yeah.
Right?
God didn't set him up in this crazy thing of where you have to navigate all these traps.
And yet, think about how complicated that world became. Okay? One thing. So we can say, God, if you would do this and if you would do that, that would take out, you know, if you just give me more money, my job, if I could be appreciated at work more, my spouse would just know the value or how much, you know, whatever it is. The list is endless. It goes on and on and on. Just this one thing. Well, there was just one thing in the garden. Just one thing. And it wasn't a thing that, like, you know, there's nothing else. This is the only of its kind. It wasn't that. He said there's a lot of trees with a lot of good fruit. You know, there's a lot, but I want you to trust my word. But there's something in trusting the word of God, though, that goes deeper than we think about it going, or does something more than we think about it doing. Think about keeping God's word, like I'm doing what pleases God because he said to do it, so I'm not going to do it, or I'm going to do it, or said not to, so I'm not going, so God's happy. No, it's God's. God doesn't need anything from humanity to make himself full and complete, but he is something that he has to share. He's love, and love has to be shared. The nature of love is I got to give it away. I have to share it. I have to share my love, and that's God. He wants to share who he is. So he makes man in the beginning, the Genesis time. The word says God created the heavens and the earth with void, without form. God, Spirit of God moving on the face of the waters, divided. There was a division that went on and seemed like a lot of chaos. And I believe it was a lot of chaos in the beginning. All these things God's creating and doing. But then he kind of clears the landscape and he says, here we go. He says, I've given you, let's make man in our image and our likeness. In the image and the likeness of God created he them, both male and female created he them, and God blessed them, okay? blessing of the Lord. You just blessed me. He did. God has blessed you. God has blessed you. God has blessed me. We are blessed of the Lord, which means God made us that way. He made us and he blessed us. When we walk away from the acknowledgement of how blessed we are, we walk and can walk in a sinful identity. People refer to it as a nature, okay? A nature like, this is my nature, you know, I'm a sinner and this is what I'm going to do because this is my nature. God never made a sinner.
Only human.
Yeah, I'm only human. God never made an only human. When we were only human, we were just dirt. We were just laying there lifeless. There's nothing going on. God breathed the spirit of life into us and then we started doing something. So it's the life of God that makes us who we are, whether people reject that or not. It's the life of God, and it's by the mercy of God we continue to breathe each day, and each day we have, each moment of each day, we have an opportunity to believe God. So here we are. The scenario is heaven and earth, you know, heaven is above, earth is beneath, God's blessed the earth. Earth is literally without any kind of chaos in the sense of there's no wars or rumors of wars. It's just one thing, just don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I mean, that's a world in itself. Briefly, what made it what it was? So that was a bad tree, right? That tree had the knowledge of evil in it, and it had the knowledge of good. So if you ate the fruit, you know, your mind just was engrossed with all the knowledge of good and all the knowledge of evil, right? So in that fruit, you eat the fruit and you have the knowledge of evil. That's what that fruit would give you. No, not at all. God said that fruit was good. Everything God created, he blessed and said it's good, but it served a purpose, okay? And the purpose of that tree was something incredibly important. It was to help Adam and Eve maintain their image, okay? Everyone tries to maintain the best image that they think they are or that they can display or, the best reflection of what they want to be, you know, and everyone does that. And that's who we are. That's what we do. It's an image. Everyone has an image. A lot of people, you may be a politician or could be someone in the movie industry or whatever it is, whoever they are, try to maintain an image because it is profitable to them. It gives them a grounded stance. This is who I am. So we look at you, we know who you are. You know, we know this person is this person is that, you know, and I'm not going to name a bunch of names. They're just different purple that people.
And we do that on a daily basis too, even with family, with friends.
Absolutely.
We all are trying to present some image that may not necessarily always be even in alignment with what we're feeling, what we're thinking, any of those kinds of things.
Well, your dad, you know, we're both dads.
Yeah.
We want to be the best image of a husband to our wives, you know? And so we watch over that, right? We watch over that image. Best dad to your children. I have two daughters. I want to be the best image of a dad to my daughters. I have asked God, you know, make me that person. Make me see that person that I am more accurately. And because you've given me all things that pertain to life and godliness through acknowledging who you are and who I am in you. And so why did they do what they did? Why did they fall? What happened? I mean, did that tree just look better that day? Or it was the serpent's fall, I guess. The serpent, you know, it was the serpent. He's the one that enticed them. And all those things are true. You know, it obviously looked really good that day. Maybe the sun was shining on it just right. The fruit was really just glistening in the sun, and the serpent just, you know, had a better cadence to what he was saying. Where do we go and how far do we take it? The bottom line is God did something in the beginning. He said, I've made you in my image and in my likeness. And it's that image. When you forget the image that you are, you'll do the things you're not. And that's called sin. We step outside of our design. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil wasn't some special fruit that made you know you were naked. What opened Adam and Eve's mind was they lost focus, perspective of the image.
Yeah.
They were. And what is that? God. They were the image of God. God made it that way. And the way they did it is they needed something outside of what God had already given them on the inside. And he said, I've given you everything. And what you have the power to do is to keep the word that I'm telling you. That tree represents your image in me. You can obey me. You can keep my word because you're my image. The word says that Eve looked at the tree and the serpent said to her. Now, she was deceived. Absolutely. And the word says she was deceived. But also, she was not deceived. And I know that seems a little kind of an oxymoron here. But the reality is she wasn't deceived. In that she knew what to say. Serpent said, eat of it. She said, no. God said not to, because in the day we eat of it, we'll surely die. So she wasn't really deceived in the sense that she was caught off guard, had no idea what was going on. She knew what was going on, but she said, the serpent, she said, God said not to do it. And if we do, if we touch it, we'd die. So we know the rules here. And the serpent says to her, and everybody wants to blame the serpent. You know, God told him, take dominion. What if they just said, hey, God said, bow down and worship God, taking dominion over you. If we just keep his word, if we just stay true to his word and stop making up our own rules, God's ways are perfect. But she did. And the reason she did is because she forgot she didn't protect her image. She went outside. She went beyond. It's on all. That's what I was talking about in one of the podcasts, just trying to get thinking that we can determine where God is based on what's beyond us instead of realizing he wants us to know who he is within us. How could we possibly determine where God is because we didn't get our goodie bag? You know, we didn't get the gift we want. We didn't get the toy or the treat or the trinket or whatever it is, no matter how opulent or big or important it seemed. You can't determine that. God's so far beyond the things we need. He is everything beyond we need, what we need. He's all things.
Because the reality in that situation, she was still utilizing her faith in believing that. Believing what the serpent was saying, that if she did eat this, then she would be like God. So that was an act of faith, as we were talking about in another podcast, of pulling something from the outside versus manifesting something from the inside.
And here's a problem with that. Then we're denying that he is within.
Yeah.
Okay. We don't think about it that way, but we create our own wars. From whence come wars and fighting? King James Version in James. When do war and fighting come? Well, because an enemy, no, don't they come of your own lusts that war on the inside of you? Every external war is one that began on the inside first. And then it expanded itself beyond who we are because it affects others, because we're a witness, we're a light to other people, or we're a darkness. You're either a light or a shadow. You're either casting a shadow or you're casting light. And if you're casting a shadow, a shadow isn't a power. It isn't an essence. It's an absence. Yeah. It isn't a presence. It's an absence of a presence. Presence of what? Presence of light. But people will feed into the darkness. You know, the darkness is this and the evil is that. No, it's simply the absence of the word of God. So what do we do? Fill that space with the word of God. Fill that space with light. She forgot her image. She listened to the serpent. God said, and he knows. She said, God says, we'll die if we touch. The serpent says, God knows if you touch it, when you eat of it, you will be like God. Did you catch the snare, the net in this? Will be. No, you are. Huh?
Yep.
Forgot the image. If I eat of it, and the word says she looked at the tree and saw that it was the tree to be desirable to make one wise, good for food. Well, they had a lot of trees that were good for food, but a tree to be desired to make one wise. And that word wise is literally has a connection with righteously wise or rightly wise, righteousness, a root word, righteousness, rightly wise. I'm wise. And my wisdom is God, and God's wisdom is righteousness, okay? She forgot her image because she looked for something beyond. It's dangerous. That's why Jesus said, don't think about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink. He said, we want you to see what's on the inside. And then all that stuff will gravitate. It will follow you. It will chase you down. It's like a cloud of rain. You know, that rain cloud of blessing will rain down on you. Just know God has given me all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called me to glory and virtue. She didn't protect her image, that image that God created her in. in the image of God. And she looked at the tree and said, just beyond me, just beyond where I am, is where I can get the knowledge that I need. The fruit wasn't what she ate. The fruit was her mind.
Yeah.
She knew at that moment what it felt like for the first time to doubt and disobey the word of God. That's what made them feel naked. That's what stripped them of their power, is it was in their own minds. They knew for the first time what it felt like to doubt God. That's nakedness. What it felt to doubt God. That's shame. It wasn't in the fruit. It was in their act, in reaching for something that God said, I've already given. He said, everything is here. Everything you need. Now, all I want you to do is take dominion, and that tree represents you trusting me. Every time you don't touch it, every time you walk by it, you know you have the fullness of all that I am. You don't need anything outside of what I've given you. And it is so the same today. People walk in sin because they doubt the image that they're created after. They doubt the presence of the Lord because we try to do what Jesus said. Don't think about tomorrow, what you need, what's coming. I say to the Lord, this is the day God has made. Those simple sparks, seeds of revelation, those simple elements of walking in truth, change your world. It keeps you sound. It keeps you grounded. It keeps you from being afraid, and it keeps things from being able to be revealed through us. God's given you everything, and everything that they touched, everything that was a blessing to them, was because God made them know they had everything they needed, and as long as they walked in that mind of God, they didn't have anything beyond their grasp. There wasn't anything they needed. They didn't feel shame. They didn't feel naked. They didn't feel disobedient. They didn't feel like they had to run and hide. They were in the presence, in the cleft, as it were, of God's presence in the rock. They were in the soundness of peace and joy and confidence and felt great. The tree represented, if they ate it, their doubt, their disobedience, and their loss of vision of protecting the image of God that we are. And it's really that simple. I'm created in the image of God. I walk in the likeness of God. Christ in me is the hope of glory. Greater is he that is in me. Listen to all the scriptures, how it, instead of God being over here somewhere, yeah, he's saying, I want you to see how I am and who I am. And I want you to see where I am. That's why they said to Jesus, show us the kingdom. He said, you're staring right at it. Show us the Father. You're looking right at him. He's not far away. Lo, I'm with you always. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And then he said, listen, if someone tells you the kingdom is here, or what is over there, it's somewhere beyond you. He said, and he, listen, again, I get it. I get jobs come and open doors and opportunities and people get healed and all those things. But it's the external embrace of God's presence with us that gives us the power to see those things manifest, to become a magnet. Seek first the kingdom of God, and these things come to you instead of you having to go out and try to hunt them down. You know, the curse of the ground, the curse of the earth, is now you're going to have to work for it.
Yeah.
You have to work for it now. Sweat of your brow, you're going to have to work for it until you're redeemed back to the mind of Christ. Jesus came and said, listen, there's a rest. And he said, people failed to enter into the rest because they doubted that it existed. And I say all the time, we work too hard trying to be believers and Christians and the righteousness of God, or whatever term you use to identify as a believer in Christ. We work too hard to become.
And you hear
that
it all the time. People say, you know, Christian, it's hard to be a Christian. Being a Christian's hard.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
If your faith understands,
yeah,
he gave it to us as a gift, just like the Garden of Eden. It's one thing. Just believe God. Not just believing in God. Believe God. Believe what he said. What did he say? I've given you everything. The fullness is in you. Don't allow what you don't see to tell you that what you need isn't with you, or that God hasn't answered you. Every moment you're breathing, every moment you have an opportunity to praise God, even every moment you have an opportunity to doubt. You know, faith blinds you. Mm. Faith blinds you. And as long as they were obedient, faith blinded them. As long as they trusted Adam and Eve that they were the image of God, it blinded them to the necessity of that tree. And every time they walked by it, they walked in power because they were obedient to God. But faith blinds you to the idea of want and need and too little and not enough. It blinds you to doubt and fear and unbelief. Faith blinds you to all those things that keep you from seeing by the Spirit all that God has given to us. And it's a gift. But Jesus can see our faith. Remember when they tore the roof off and let the man that was crippled down through the roof? The word says Jesus seeing their faith. Yeah. And Jesus got off the boat, and he's in Capernaum now, and they carry this guy on, that same thing, he's crippled. And Jesus saw their faith. And then when the centurion comes, Jesus can find faith. And Jesus found, he said, I haven't found so great a faith, not in all of Israel. God can see your faith. He can find your faith. God listens and reads your heart. And when we become so confident that God, what he's given us on the inside, that's why Paul said, whatever you have, be content with it. He wasn't saying, just be all right with what you don't have. He was saying, listen, if you'll be content with who Christ in you is, all those things that you have need of, they will come. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be gathered to you. But we get so caught up. God gives us an opportunity to look into an invisible world and see how much beyond what we need exists. And we doubt that is even there. And we blind our own eyes by our own doubt. But faith will blind you to the inability to do all things. It will blind you to fear. It will blind you to impossibilities. It'll blind you to the hardship of Christianity and serving Christ. And it makes it easy. Jesus said it like this. How hard is it? He said, come to me when you're tired of working and laboring, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke on you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly. You'll find rest to your soul. I don't see the labor there. He removed the burden. He removed the weight, and he gave us rest. He gave us peace. We're very, very empowered by God if we'll trust in his word and stop contradicting what we say. When we say we believe God, and then talk about something, trying to steal it, take it, or we don't have enough, or God doesn't feel. Change your mind with your words. Let your ear, hear your mouth say, God's present with me. I feel the presence of the Lord. I sense the presence of God in his word that abides in me. And let that life come out of you. People sin because they doubt. They don't cover that image that they're created after. And if we just embrace the image of God, when we see him, we will know him. And when we know who he is, we can see him for who he is, we'll be like him. Let's see him now. Let's see him in his word. Let's see him by faith. The centurion soldier, just speak the word only. There's no distance. There's no time. Jesus said, I like this. He knows in whom he has believed. Adam and Eve, I say all the time, what a different world it would have been if they had just said, bow down and worship God. We are like God. We have everything we need. God made us in our image. He made us to be like him. He dwells in us. He and he alone is God, and he alone dwells in us. We lack nothing. We don't need anything. And Paul, you know, I've learned to do one thing. I forget who I was that I shouldn't have been, and I remember who I am in Christ. Christ in me is the hope of glory. That's why we always say, this is the thing, embrace this idea. This is the greatest season of your life. That's the image of God. Yeah. That's what keeps you from sinning.
Yeah.
Not work, not us trying, not thinking about how much I did or didn't. The word says the soul that sins shall surely die. So there must be something. 1 John says, he that is born of God sinneth not, for the seed of God remaineth in him. He cannot. Now people are, wait a minute. We're all going to fall. We're all going to stumble. And this is what I said the other day. I said, listen, if you do stumble, let it be a surprise. Don't anticipate it. You know, let it be a surprise. That means you're not anticipating the fall. You're not using your faith to fall. You're using your faith to stand. You're not thinking about how righteous you are, how much of a sinner you are. You're just thinking about how great God is. You're just trusting in the Lord. And isn't that what the word means when it says, I am crucified with Christ?
Yep.
Nevertheless, I live, yet it's not I that liveth, but Christ that lives in me. That's the image of God. That's the image we're called to portray and believe in.
Wow. And that's how we carry out our purpose and fulfill it. I mean, Adam and Eve were given the purpose, go take dominion of the whole earth, but based on their neglecting the image of God that he gave them to reflect, suddenly that job, which would have been easy in a certain sense, suddenly becomes toil and labor.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like he didn't create them to go out there and toil and labor.
No.
That's the consequence, the natural consequence of of thinking that there's something else that you need in order to be godlike or in order to have his image, or versus resting in that, because then that just has the ripple effect of affecting everything else that you seem to be able to do in him. Like the centurion, he got it. He said, like time and space aren't a factor. There's no thorn, there's no bump, there's no this to get you to heal my servant.
Yeah.
It just happens now. Whereas I think so much for us, we think, okay, God's given me a calling. He's given me this purpose. And now how do I make this happen? How do I make that happen? How do I do this? How do I do that? And I have to go through this struggle and that struggle. And I need this resource. I need all these things, which Adam and Eve, had they held on to that, would never needed to be conscious of, because it would have all been manifest.
And God didn't run from them. God didn't.
No, that's the other cool thing. I mean, that's the thing is that, so they fall. And God was said, where are you?
Yeah. Why are you hiding?
Yeah. Why are you hiding? He knew what they did.
Of course he did. Because he knew they were hiding.
Yeah.
And he's God. And he knows. But think about it. I don't feel the presence of the Lord. Stop hiding from it.
Yeah.
Stop hiding from the presence of the Lord. I don't know why. If God's with me, well, get out of the bushes. Come out in the presence of the Lord. Yeah. You know, raise your hands, raise your heart, raise your voice. And just say, God's present with me. Tell your feelings, they have no idea. Everything that exists isn't visible, but it exists nonetheless. And only our faith makes it known. And those are what's referred to as the invisible attributes of God that so profoundly, so powerfully dwell on the inside of everyone that will believe in their heart and confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Savior of the world. You can't figure it out. You don't have to. Your faith understands. Your faith gets it. Your faith knows. Trust in that. Man hid himself in the beginning, and to this present day, men and women hide themselves from the presence of the Lord in doubt and thinking, well, this didn't happen, that didn't happen. Whoever said you'll know God because he answers our every whim. No, it says Christ within us is the hope of glory. And it says that his spirit dwells with us. As a matter of fact, we're talking about this on the way here, that the word says there's times we don't even know how to pray. There's times we don't know what. I mean, I've certainly been in a place where there are always scenarios and you want to know how to navigate them, of course. But how do we get that insight? How do we get that knowledge? By doing what we've been talking about. And then that knowledge comes, your mind changes, your sources become more visible, your desires, your misdirection becomes more of a direction. That's why the word says all things work together for good. You're not going to step on a path or on a road where you're going to lose your way if you trust in the Lord, because there is no loss of way in the kingdom. You know, every direction's leading you somewhere you need to go. You just need to hear what God's saying. And it's not the directions we create for ourselves. It's the order of the Lord. God. And sometimes, so what do you do? You don't know, what are you going to do when you don't know what to do? I want to praise him. He's so amazing. We sing that all the time. What you going to do when you don't know what to do? I'm going to praise him. He's so amazing. And it's just that kind of subtle voice on the inside, but so authoritative and powerful, that says, trust me. How can I trust? How can I know you? Praise him. Declare. Let your ear hear your mouth say, God, you're present with me. Why? You're speaking by faith, but what you're speaking is the truth.
Yeah.
Because your doubt has blinded you to the reality of God's presence. You're running from his presence. His presence isn't running from you. In the genesis of time, in the beginning with Adam and Eve, he didn't hide himself from them. They hid themselves from God.
Yeah.
And thinking that you don't have it, it's not there, is a lie. It may not show up in the way you want it to, because we want things too temporarily. We want them too substandard, too beneath what God is really wanting to do. And you know what? Then we become complacent there, and then we talk about being bored, and life is just hard. And no, life is exciting, filled with joy and peace and events every day that say, I want to show you what you can't do by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what? You're not by yourself. Like Jesus said, I'm not alone. The Father's with me always. God's with you always, every moment of every day. Acknowledge that and watch the presence of the Lord just baptize you.
Amen. I think that's a great place to wrap it up for this session. Thanks so much for watching, and I hope you guys will tune in on Sunday for Service of PFC and to our next edition of the Pulling on Heaven podcast.
So look forward to it. God bless. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.